Let me see. All right.
Am I the one there?
Yes, sir. Let the Lord lead you.
I'm sure he will.
Missed you folks this morning. Had to go over and listen to Brother James over at Community. He asked me, was I coming back tonight? I said, no, got to preach. I don't know whether he was going to let me preach or not, but he seldom does anyway. So, but anyway, we love him with all our heart. He done got married now, so he's under the harness. Anyway, Romans chapter 4, we see, I'm going to be in chapter, last two verses of 4 and chapter 5, a few verses. But what I want to do is start off with justification and righteousness. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for this church. We pray, God, that you'd heal Brother Donnie. Bring him back into the fullness of his strength, Lord, so that he can once again get in the pulpit for you, Lord. Now we thank you, dear Lord, for blessing this unworthy servant. May your Holy Spirit do exceedingly above what I can ask or think, in Jesus' name. Amen. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Faith comes from God. Grace comes from God. Mercy comes from God. And righteousness comes from God. We have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is but filthy rags and a stench in the nostrils of God. You've got to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able to perform. That's Romans 4, 20 and 21. When you believe in that simple childlike faith, what happens? God imputes to you righteousness. And that righteousness will deliver from death. Righteousness is what gets us to heaven. Righteousness is what we'll be clothed in one day. Amen. The white robe of righteousness. Yes. But as we go further down in chapter 4 to verse 24, it says, for us also to whom it shall be imputed, talking about righteousness, if we believe on him. Now you can believe like I've find President Obama, that I'm a Christian, but there are many ways to get to heaven. But my friend John 14:6, there is but one way. Amen. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Right. So, you can be like Oprah. Many ways to get to heaven. But my friends, you won't make it. If you don't come through Jesus Christ, then my friends, you're lost. For Jesus Christ is our Lord. How do we know that? Because it tells us in verse 24 that the Lord was raised up from the dead. He was raised up from the dead. In Acts chapter 2. Verses 22 through 24. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. My friends, let me tell you something. You're going to look at me real funny. If it had been just for the cross of Jesus, you'd still yet be in your sins. He was approved of God by the resurrection from the dead. If it had not been for the resurrection, he would not have been approved of God. Notice what it says. Approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, we have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's your cross. He was put on the cross not for his sins, but for our sins. But God, verse 24, raised up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. As I preached here a while back, death has no sting. The grave has no victory. I don't care if we go home today. We're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And then when resurrection day comes, ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Ain't no grave going to hold your body down. But it says that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. Pilate could find no fault in him. Herod could find no fault in him. The thief on the cross could find no fault in him. And one of the guards said, surely this was the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful to know that we can look at a Savior and know there's no fault in him? You can't find any fault in him. He was delivered for our offenses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He was made to be sin, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness. Oh, praise God. Gonna make us shine like the sun one day when we slip that white robe on. Praise God. Just think about it. There's not gonna be any sun, any moon. The only light that's going to be in that new Jerusalem is Jesus Christ himself. And we're going to be the moon, because we're going to be the one reflecting the light from the Son of God. Beautiful. It says the nations of the earth are going to walk in the light of it. One day you're going to be the sun. Praise God. But it goes on to say, he was raised again for our justification. What is justification? Some people say, well, it's just like we were never sinned. But we have sinned. The thing about it, justification is the act of God whereby our legal standing in heaven is changed, and we are declared righteous. What that means is, right now, if we had to meet God, we had a whole handwriting of ordinances against us. We're condemned. It says if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, we're condemned already. But what happened? The blood washed it all away. Now we stand justified, yes, in the sight of God. It's not covered. It's washed away. Yes. And I thank God every day that he took my sin upon his own body and bore it on the cross of Calvary so that I could go free. You could go free. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That was a woman that had an issue of blood. She went many, many years under the care of physicians, but they couldn't heal her. And she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. My friends, that's faith. Everywhere in the Bible you see anybody healed, you'll see the words. Now, this is except one place. But you'll see the words, thy faith hath made thee whole. We cannot be healed unless we got the faith believing that God has the power to heal us and is going to heal us.
Right.
The blind man said, "You, Jesus, if you will, you can heal me." You know, that's what we got to believe. I told you before, I got a right knee over here. I asked God to heal it. He healed it. They said I was going to have a knee put in. Hey, does that look like I need a knee? I went home. The doctor said, just take you some kind of pain medicine. That's the only thing I can do for you other than a new knee. I said, well, I'll go home and talk to somebody else. So I put my hand on it and I prayed unto God and God healed it. Yes. Well, the left one the same way, said the same thing about it. God don't always, in other words, God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, as the old saying goes. God said, no, my grace is sufficient. You'll have to go okay with that one. But I said, Lord, this one's got arthritis, and also the cartilage has been worn out. But God said, I'll take you. I want you to go up here to Reefle Market, Farmer's Market. And there's a black man up there waiting for you. God's angels come in all colors, all sexes. He says, I'll tell you how you can get the pain out of that knee. And you remember I told you, turmeric cumin took all the pain out of that one. I'm 72 years old. I ain't going to walk like a spry 15, 16-year-old. But praise God, the pain's gone. And the funny thing is, when I get in the pulpit, I don't have a pain one. My wife will testify to that. Now, when I get out of this pulpit and get down yonder, it's going to hurt. Some things in my body is going to hurt. But as long as I'm in this pulpit, don't nothing hurt. Our God's a wonderful, awesome God. He says, call upon me and I'll show you mighty and wonderful things that you've never known. Jeremiah 33, I believe it is. All right, being delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Then we go into chapter 5, it says, Therefore, being justified by faith, you cannot be justified any other way. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't dance your way to heaven. You can't do anything to get to heaven. Well, there's none but one way, Jesus Christ, and faith in him.
Amen.
Being justified by faith. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You got the faith of Abraham? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. You better start developing that faith. Right. Hebrews 11:6. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. When we sinned back in the Garden of Eden, and we decided we wanted to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when the Lord said, no, you don't do it. You know, disobedience is what got the first man in trouble. There's but one way to be happy in Jesus, and that's to trust and obey. If we trust him for all our needs, if we obey him, then God says, I will bless you. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, when they disobeyed in the Garden of Eden, they were cast out of the garden. The fellowship with God was broken. No longer could we walk with God in the cool of the evening. But then, there was a man that came on the scene, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bridged the gap between God and man with the cross of Calvary. He says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. My friends, you can take the blood out of the songbooks, you can take the blood out of the Bible, but without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile, pull God and man back together. All things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and yea, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. God took an old, as it says over in Zechariah, he had dirty clothes on. That's the way we are when we stand in the presence of God. But he took the clothes off and put on brand new clothes. Clothes of righteousness. He took away all your dirty, filthy garments and clothed you in the righteousness of God. And now you stand unreprovable, unblameable in the sight of God. Yes. Got a whole brand new wardrobe, Brother Donald. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Praise God, we might have been Gentiles, but we've been grafted in, folks. We've been grafted in, and now he loves us, wants us to be in heaven. Why he is, we may be also, John 17. It says, by whom? You notice it's always the by whom. There ain't but one, Jesus. By whom we have access by faith. Back to the one verse that we all know, I'm for sure. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's power in the blood. That's power in the word. That's power in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Praise God.
And there's power in you far exceeding the above what you even ask or think by the Holy Spirit in you. Into the grace. Grace. Oh, wonderful grace. God gives us a fresh supply of grace every day, just like a wave coming into a shore. Wave after wave after wave. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Grace to withstand this world and everything it'll throw at it. Grace to go through death. Grace will one day take us home. Grace. Thank God for a God that loved us that much. By whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. You notice we have to stand. We can't be weak Christians. We've got to stand for something. If you can't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. There's every wind and doctrine that comes around to your door. I want to give you some pamphlets. Watchtower, you know them, don't you? Jehovah's Witnesses. They come around knocking on your door. My friend, let me tell you, they will carry you about with every wind and doctrine of that demon religion if you let them in. Bible said, don't let them in your door. I said, get on out of here. I don't believe the way you do. Appreciate you coming by, but I don't want to hear it. They've been so indoctrinated, you wouldn't be able to help them. And they got the big guy sitting not too far away in case he gets, the young guy gets kind of bumfuzzled. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, we got to stand. Secondly, we got to rejoice. The Bible says to draw what? Joy from the wells of salvation. If you've got salvation, then you ought to have joy. If you don't have joy in your heart, then your bucket's got a hole in it. You're not drawing it with a good bucket. Salvation is the strength of our joy. We got so many Christians today, you can't get people in church because they're looking at your life and seeing how sourpuss you are. You've been sucking on lemons, mad at the world like somebody done crumbled your cookie. My friends, we got to rejoice in tribulation. We got to rejoice in whatever comes our way. Got news for you. The Lord has got it all in hand. So joy is the crown of life. Joy in bringing someone else to know Jesus Christ will get you a crown of joy. When we rejoice, praise God, people wonder, what in the world is wrong with you? I used to walk around the halls of Fieldcrest Cannon Mills. You look like the bird that swallowed, the cat that swallowed the bird. I said, yeah, I've got Jesus, and he's the joy of my salvation. You got to show the world that salvation is joy. You got to show the world how to rejoice. Why am I rejoicing? Because of the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming back. It ain't going to be long.
Hallelujah.
Some of you preachers say, I think I'll stop and shout for about 5 minutes. Woo! Boy. You know what this is, don't you? That's hallelujah for a deaf person. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Joy, rejoice. Praise God, we're not of the world. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We don't look at temporal things down here. We look at permanent things up yonder. Old Peter could walk on that water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But he started to sink in the water when he looked down. You look at the things of this world and you'll sink. You keep your eyes on Jesus and he'll take you all the way home. Them poor old sailors, they got in that boat and they started across the Sea of Galilee. Lake Gennesaret or whatever you want to call it. Jesus has said we're going to the other side. Ain't that what Jesus told you? You're going to the other side. You believe in me, you've got a home in glory. You're going to the other side. He went down and he laid down on a pillow. I'm going to take him a nap. He didn't have a worry in the world. And all of a sudden a storm comes. They say the storms can come up on lake. Gennesaret in just a moment. And the water began to dash into the boat. And the disciples got fearful. What does the Bible say? Perfect love casteth out all fear. You've got the love of Jesus in your heart. What are you fearing? He's got it all under control. How's that little tail? I'd say, he's driving the train. And they looked at him and said, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? Oh, you have a little faith. Was he not there all the time? Why? Jesus has left your life. Is he not there all the time with you? He says, I'll stick closer than a brother to you. And yet, you don't believe that he's there? He's left you? And you begin to fear what the world throws at you. You can't do that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And he'll provide all you need according to his riches and glory. He says, don't worry about anything on this earth because you can't make your hair white or black. Hope of the glory of God. We've got a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We glory in tribulations. You hear that? You know what bringeth patience? Tribulation. Tribulation bringeth patience. But boy, when we get into tribulation, oh gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh man, what am I going to do next? Jesus says, was I not here all along? Reach out. I'll let you walk upon these waters. I'll let you walk on this rough time with ease. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You see, a Christian life is in steps. It's just like a young child that's growing up. It goes from the infant stage to the junior stage to the mature stage, or what, junior stage or mature stage. Living as a Christian, you've got to go through birth pains. He couldn't talk to the Corinthians because they were still immature. They were still babies. God wants to give you the meat. All you got to do is be able to absorb it and digest it. Don't ever stay a baby. Get into the Word of God. Pray. Seek the face of God, and He'll open up wonders that you've never seen before. Every time you read the Word of God, there's a nugget that you hadn't seen. Every time you pray, you can feel a rush. Every time you come to church, you can feel the power of God coming upon you. Oh, it seems like it's the same old things over and over. It's not part of my sermon, but I'm going back and get it. Y'all excuse me for a moment. Back in Malachi. You can tell, I said it before, but I'll tell it again. You can tell how much you love God by what you put in the offering plate. When have you robbed me in tithes? But what I wanted you to hear was this. Verse 13 of Malachi 3. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Now, you may say something against me. You may take me home for supper. You may say something, Brother Bill or Brother Donald, or the next door neighbor. But I got news for you, my friends. God says, if you did it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. You did it unto me. So you can talk about the preacher, you can talk about the deacon, you can talk about anybody that you want to, but you're doing it against Christ. Psalm 51. David and Bathsheba. David pleaded in Psalm 51 for the joy of his spirit again. But what did he say? Lord, against thee and only thee have I sinned. How about it? He says, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. They that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that tempt God are even delivered. Is that our attitude today? It is vain to serve God. What profit is it? Are you looking for a profit? I can't think of a better one than eternal life. How about you? Praise God, we're going to leave here and we're going to serve God throughout ceaseless ages of eternity. I think a lot of people think we're going to sit on the river and fish for goldfish. But I got news for you, you're still going to be working for the Lord. We're going to sit and bring judgment upon various regions of this world. We're going to judge angels. Hope maketh not ashamed. The Bible talks about it over in Hebrews, that hope is an anchor for our soul, because the blessed hope is coming back. It doesn't make us ashamed. It's like he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the righteous. He died for the ungodly. He died for me. He died for you. None of us deserve what we get or what we got. But my friends, he gave it to us freely for the free gift of God. It's salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can serve the devil, but the wages of sin is just pure out death. He pays off in wages just like we do. Or he does. I hope you gain something from this. I know the Lord loves you. He cares for you. He wants to give you the best. You know what James said? All good and perfect things come down from the Father above. Good and perfect things. It's not what we should have our eyes on down here. They are temporal, but the things up there are eternal. We've got an inheritance up there. All we got to do is claim it. Brother Bill, I'm going to let you have it.
Too swift.